comes up with false religions. All these religions are united in one aspect, that they're all against the true religion or the truth of God and being saved and Jesus Christ and all of that. And he has so many different religions out there, but they're all just different ways to take people away from the true God and Jesus Christ. But not only that, Satan wants to keep ruling the world through his man. And his man is called the seed of the serpent. And the Lord said in Genesis 3:15 that his goal was for the seed of the serpent to be crushed or beaten by the seed of the woman. And who is the seed of the woman that would crush the seed of the serpent? Anybody know? Diane? Yeah, the Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah. He's the seed of the woman. The woman is Israel, and a Jewish maiden had the Messiah, but the woman is Israel. We know that from Revelation 12 and Genesis 38 and other scripture. And so that's God's program. It's a kingdom program from Genesis to Revelation to have the seed of the woman crush the seed of the serpent. Now, the seed of the serpent is none other than the Jewish Antichrist and the Gentile beast. And they are the seed of the serpent. And also anybody that follows the devil and doesn't trust the Lord, they become the seed of the serpent. And so God is going to use the Lord to crush the enemies of God and of the kingdom of God. And of course, Satan, the dragon, is the key enemy. And we saw in the last days, at the very end time, that you would see the Gentile beast, who we believe will be Hitler, coming back, the Jewish Antichrist, and then the dragon behind them is none other than Satan. And they'll rule the entire world and set up a false kingdom of God over the earth. It'll really be the kingdom of Satan. And so the book of Revelation talks about the second coming of the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, because in his first coming, he defeated the devil by dying. He defeated the devil by dying because by dying, he paid for our sins. By dying, he provided us salvation. And he paid for the sins of each one of us who are saved and the sins of Israel. And so he had to die the first time. Satan thought, oh, I got the victory when he was crucified. But he found out 3 days later, you're wrong. And now he sees he's coming again. And he wants to stop it. Satan's trying to stop it. And he's going to rule over the world. And Satan wants to keep ruling. And so God has set up these different dispensations or administrations to bring in his kingdom. The first one was innocence, when Adam was here innocent and he became guilty, and so that ended in failure. The second dispensation was conscience, that God gave man a conscience, and he didn't have the Bible yet, but he had his conscience. And what happened? Well, man got worse and worse, and what did God have to do to the world because it got so bad, Sarge? So here's your second dispensation. You have innocence, and that ends the dispensation. The first one, innocence, and that ends in failure because of Adam's sin. Second, you have conscience, and that ends in what? Failure, and the flood came. The third one, the third dispensation is after the flood, and it's called human government. Human government. God set up governments. Remember, he set up capital punishment if somebody commits murder. And ultimately, human government is going to become this. during the Great Tribulation. We see now the governments of the world are becoming corrupt. And they're going to unite together under Satan. So human government is going to end in what?
Failure.
Then you have the dispensation of the patriarchs or promise. Patriarchs, promise. God makes his promise through the patriarchs. And of course we know that none of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were without sin, right? You read the Bible, they all sin. So that ends in failure, although the promise concerning Christ will happen because God made it. And then we have the dispensation after the dispensation of patriarchs of law. And that's where God gave the law to Israel. And how did Israel do under law? Failed. They were taken captive by Babylon. So that ended in failure. What's the dispensation after law? Anybody know? I don't know if we covered it. What is it?
Grace.
Yeah. And I kind of like to use another name for it. Grace is the popular name. You're right. But I like to use another name. Here's why. There was grace here. 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 And this is noted for grace, but I like to use another name. Does anybody know what it is? Yep.
Church?
Yeah, I like to use church dispensation. The grace of God is now saving people, and they're coming together in churches. And that's the bride of Christ. And the law was given to Israel, but grace is given to churches. And how is this going to end this dispensation of the church? Does anybody know? In failure. That doesn't mean we're all going to fail. We're going to see people get saved. But what's going to happen in the world? It's going to get worse and worse. And it's going to bring about the Great Tribulation. And we're going to have to be rescued out of here. So you're not going to bring in the kingdom by giving the gospel and doing the work we're doing. You won't fail. You'll see people get saved. They'll get in the church. They'll get raptured. But I'm talking as far as the kingdom program. This is all about the media. Remember we said the mediatorial kingdom program. The church will not be able to bring in the kingdom. Israel wasn't able to bring it in under law. And the patriarchs couldn't do it in themselves. Human government won't do it, and so forth. So there's one more dispensation coming after the church. And what is the final dispensation called? Yep. The millennium. Millennium. Now, that's when Christ is going to reign in earth. That's what we're looking at in Revelation 20. That's when Christ will be on top of Mount Zion in Jerusalem as a king and a priest. That's when we who are in the church will have glorified bodies and will be spread out over the world and rule over the world with Christ. That's when everybody that comes into the millennium, which is for 1,000 years, everybody that comes into it will come in and be saved at the beginning. Everybody at the beginning of 1,000 years. So everybody is saved. Christ is reigning. The Holy Spirit is poured out. Miracles are done. People get sick. They can go to Jerusalem and get healed by going up on the Mount Zion and getting the tree of life there and in the Jerusalem for the healing of the nations. Miracles will be done. Christ will be here in person. I mean, what a time that'll be. How does the millennium end? All these are failure. This is called the dispensation of the fullness of times in Ephesians 1. Dispensation of the fullness of time. Can somebody look that up, that verse in Ephesians 1? Give me the verse on it. Ephesians 1, where it says, I think it's around verse 7. I'm not sure. The dispensation of the fullness of times. And that means the final dispensation that the book of Genesis through Revelation deals with. And the whole book of Revelation deals with that final dispensation. Anybody found that in Ephesians yet? It's called the dispensation of the fullness of times. When you find it, maybe you could give it to me and read it. Diane, what one is it?
Verse 10.
Verse 10. All right, go ahead and read it, please.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Hear that? That's a tremendous verse. He's going to gather everything together in the dispensation of the fullness of times. That means the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city where we live, is going to come down to earth. And it's going to hover over earthly Mount Zion, where the temple will be during the millennium. Israel will be here, but so will the church, the bride of Christ. Israel, earth, the nations will be here. Christ will be here. It'll all be united in one. Satan will be bound and put in the bottomless pit, a chamber of hell at the center of the earth. The beast and the Jewish Antichrist, well, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. What could be a better dispensation? How will it end? Arch?
It ends in a failure.
It ends in failure. And here's the failure right here. All these armies are marching to Jerusalem to literally knock Jesus off the throne in Jerusalem after he's shown them 1,000 years of peace and prosperity and wealth and blessing. They're there gathered together to destroy Jesus and knock him off the throne. This hasn't even started yet. It's coming. Now, how can that be if you have everybody saved going into it? You have Christ here, all these. But how can it be that that's going to happen, that this rebellion is going to happen? Alex? All right, we want to welcome Alex to our class. He just got married, and so he is now a married man. Amen. Let's give him a hand. That's good to see him. All right, so he's out of Brother Zukowski, because I got Brother Zukowski doing the singles class, so he's over here. Yes, ma'am, you got something to add?
They will have children, and they will have to be tested.
I like that outfit you got on. It looks really nice. They will have what?
They'll have children, and their children will be tested.
Yeah, that's true, too. What Alex said is true. So the devil is going to be released. You say, why is God going to release him? To show us that we're failures. Without him. Without his grace. And by the way, there's got to be grace here, grace here, grace here. Without his grace, we fail. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Without the grace of God, I will fall flat on my face. Without the grace of God, you'll fall flat. Abraham fell flat in his face without the grace of God. If he removes his grace, we all fall flat on our face. So he is showing us that we need his grace. And he leaves the devil around for the final dispensation, the fullness of times. That's the one that's finally done. He leaves him here so that we can see that the best of conditions, with children that are born in the best of conditions, with unless they're born again by grace, they're going to fail. And the devil will easily get them to rebel. And what will he say? Why, he has been so strict, that Lord Jesus. He's ruling you guys with a rod of iron. He doesn't give you your freedoms. You can't do what you want to do. If you follow me, you'll be as gods, like him. You'll be able to call the shots for yourself. Why should you be told by him, by his laws, by his strict rules, how to dress? And he will tell people how to dress. How to act, and he will tell them. And they'll willingly do it if they're saved by grace. But if they're not saved by grace, they'll rebel. Because man is so sinful and so wicked that he needs the grace of God, or no matter how good he has it, he'll fail. Let me give you an illustration. How about the sons of God without belly buttons, as I like to say? God made all the sons of God directly without a mother. Who are they? Who are the sons of God without belly buttons with no mothers? Who are they? Yeah.
Angels.
You know, the angels were made before we were. Well, one of the great high-ranking angels who guarded the throne of God, you know his name was Lucifer. He rebelled, didn't he? He wanted to be worshipped like God. And so he got how many angels to rebel? What part of the angels to rebel against God?
Third.
Huh? Third. One third. They rebelled against God. Now think about that. They had everything perfect. They had a perfect father, God. They had a perfect perfect life. Everything was perfect. There was no sin in the universe. And yet Satan got them to rebel against God and say, he's trying to keep us under. We should have authority like him. And we can be like God. And that's Satan's whole thing. We're able to be like God. So you see, all of these things end in failure without God's grace at work. And this final dispensation proves that out. And it's called the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, if you look at Revelation, and we've been looking at the book of Revelation, that means the unveiling or uncovering, right? Revelation. It means the unveiling or uncovering. And what's being uncovered is Christ's second coming. And what you have in the book of Revelation is Christ's second coming. And you have John being brought forward to the day of the Lord. And so in chapters 1 all the way up through chapter 7, you have the time leading up to the day of the Lord. Time leading up to it. Up to day of the Lord. All right? And then in chapter 8 through 19, you have the time during the day of the Lord, when he's pouring out the judgment on this earth as part of his second coming, during the day of the Lord. We'll just put day of the Lord, D-L. And then in 20 through 22, you have the time what? Somebody, raise your hand. Yep. After the day of the Lord. And what is the time after the day of the Lord? After the day of the Lord? Well, it is detailed in 20 through 22, and that is the dispensation, the fullness of time, the millennium. It doesn't go beyond that. The revelation doesn't go beyond that. You say, is there life beyond that? There's plenty beyond that. Forever. But what you are during the millennium and what rewards you get, listen to me, during the millennium, they will continue after it, because the mediatorial kingdom will go on forever. But it will be after the millennial phase. The millennial phase ends in failure with this final judgment that the Lord brings down on the rebels that rebel against the most perfect time of all. Now, you got an overview of the entire Bible. And chapter 20 that we're studying in Revelation is really about that thousand-year reign, and it's kind of an overview of that thousand-year reign. So I don't know how far we got with this last week. Did we go all the way through it? I don't even remember. But at any rate, you can look at it with me. So take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to look at this thousand-year reign, and look at number 1 in your notes, number 1, chapter 20, and I'll read it. It says, the first event that we see in Revelation 20, 1 through 3, as we fly over the millennium, is that right at the beginning, Satan is removed from access to the earth. In fact, he's locked up inside of it for 1,000 years. So let's look at this. It says in verse 1, you follow in your copy of God's Word. You should have the King James. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, I want you to notice verse 2. He's called a serpent and a dragon. Now, an angel puts him in there. It doesn't say who the angel is, but it must be a very powerful angel. Who would be a likely angel to handle Satan? Yep.
Michael,
the victor. It's kind of like Lee and Grant, you know, when Lee surrendered to Grant, two great generals, and it was appropriate, you know, to have the generals face one another, and that would be appropriate. But at any rate, he's going to be put in there. But I want you to notice the term serpent and dragon. What's the significance of that in light of what we've looked at, the overview of the whole thing? What would be the significance of that? A serpent and then a dragon. Yes, Alex. Yes, correct. They're the reptilians. And if you look at the cherubim around the throne of God, the anointed or special cherubim around the throne of God, and I don't want to be too dogmatic here, but you have one of them representing people, one representing fish and fowl, one of them representing the wild animals, one representing the tame animals, but there's not a fifth one representing the reptilians. Satan was a representative before the throne of God of God's creation of the reptilians. And the reptilians are all of your lizards and so forth, and serpents and dinosaurs. Dragons are dinosaurs. The biblical name for dinosaur is dragon. The name dinosaur wasn't used until the 1800s, and then they began to classify all these different dinosaurs, you know, like Leviathan in the Bible is a swimming dinosaur, really, you know, and a swimming reptilian and so forth and so on. And so, and then Behemoth, that would be a land huge dinosaur family, dragon, you know. So, yeah, all of these are under Satan. They're huge reptilians. Yes. Well, you're getting right to the point. That's exactly where I was going with this. He started off in Genesis as a serpent, and then he's referred to as a dragon. And what? Why do you think it starts like that, goes to serpent to dragon in light of this? Does anybody have a thought on that? Yes, Arch?
I have a theory.
Yep.
Starts off as a nice guy, a friendly conversation. You know, he's into the subject. Brings me to my next subject. Back then, I believe all the animals had the power of speech, because notice Eve, she didn't drop the coffee pot. She wasn't startled.
No, right. She just talked to him like Eric talks to his parrot. Yeah.
Talk to the animals.
Yeah, just talk to the animals. And yeah, but little did she know that she was talking to Lucifer, who had become the devil, and he was out to get her to sin. But anybody else on this from one to the other? Yes. Perfect. She nailed it. He started small. A snake is not as big as a dinosaur. And Brontosaurus or, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex, those are all real reptilians. They've been discovered. Ken Hovind's coming here. You can talk to him about it. He's coming here the 29th, October. He'll be here probably in this Sunday school and then in church. But you know, he's done a lot on this. He's called Dr. Dino, you know, because he has taken Satan's reptilians, because Satan tries to use the reptilians to push evolution, But they've discovered dinosaur prints in Texas right along human prints. And they found out they existed together. And dinosaurs were prevalent right after the flood. The reason why they became extinct over time was because of climate change. Not the kind of climate change we hear about today. But the climate change of the change of the atmosphere or the heaven of the earth after the flood. You see, a dinosaur, or a lot of these lizards keep growing. And if they were allowed to live hundreds of years, they would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But because the atmosphere has changed, they don't live that long. And so Godzilla, sorry, Sarge, they just can't live that long. In the atmosphere, it's too harsh for them. Even in Florida, where you see all these lizards, you know, they're falling off trees. You're walking along, and a big lizard falls off in front of you. Why? Because it got too cold that day. And it might be nice for me, but man, they need that sun, you know. So there's been this change, and but yeah, Kathy had it right that he starts out as a serpent hissing a lie to Eve. Then he gets her to sin, gets Adam to sin, and over 6,000 years, he becomes this huge one-world government ruler, and that is the dragon. And that is exactly what you see in Revelation. So, yeah, right on, and that is right. And then it says in verse 3, and cast him, that's his big dragon, into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So, yeah, that is so true. Now let's go to number 2. The second event that we see in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, is that those that had part in the first resurrection, along with all those caught up before death, will be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air. In Revelation 24 through 6, we see a certain segment of this group that had a part in this first resurrection, which was between the 6th and 7th seal. And they're distinguished for their being martyred during the Great Tribulation. And read that again in Revelation 20, verse 4. Okay, so there's a lot there. So let's just read 4 through 6. He says in 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, right there, let's just stop there, because that's part of the verse. He's saying that at the beginning of the 1,000 years, he saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, I want to show you who that refers to. First, hold your finger here because we got to get back here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians, right after Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians and then chapter 6. All right, let me read this to you. This is talking to a carnal church, a carnal bunch of people who were saved people in the church dispensation. Here's what Paul said to them under inspiration. Verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, that is a church member, go to law before the unjust. In other words, sue your neighbor in church. It is wrong for you to sue the church. It is wrong for you to sue another church, and if you do it, you're wrong. He says, dare you do that? Dare you? Verse 2, do ye not know that the saints, that's us, shall judge what? Say it again, the what?
The world.
The world. What world do you think? The millennial world. Shall judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest members? Look at verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? The world to come is not going to be under angel. It's going to be under man. Satan is right now a fallen angel. He's ruling the world. But God's going to put him in the bottomless pit, remove his rulership, and it's going to be given to us to rule. Who is the man who's the king of the world during the millennium?
Jesus.
Jesus, the last Adam. And anybody that is saved and accepted Jesus, you will be, your purpose is to rule over the world if you've been faithful, 1 Corinthians 3. If you're not faithful, you'll have to sit out. You'll have to sit it out. And that'll be for eternity. You won't have much of a job. But I'm just saying that in the millennium, and Ken Hovind believes this too, by the way, I've heard him on this. And the millennium is that whole thing of the thousand-year reign. And so let's go back now to Revelation 20. It'll make more sense to you. He says in verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Stop right there. So who is he talking about when it says, at the beginning of the millennium, which he's referring to here, he sees these thrones, plural, thrones, and judgment is given unto the people that sit on the throne. Who are sitting on these thrones and getting this opportunity to judge the world to come? Who is it? Kathy? Faithful saints who are faithful now to what God gives you to do. And faithful in little things, he'll make you ruler over much. You can have your rewards taken and given to somebody else. Let no man take your crown. That's your authority in the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. He said to the 12 apostles, you're going to rule over the 12 tribes. That's your authority. I've given that to you. But you're going to have to suffer before you get that. He told them. So that's what this is referring to. All right? This is referring to. Now, if you're not born again, you don't even get into the kingdom, because everybody going in the kingdom has to be born again. So if you're not born again, even if you're a member of the church, you don't even get in. Where do you go if you're not born again?
Lake of fire.
And you'll be in hell still during the millennium at the center of the earth. All right. So I saw the thrones. Now let's go on. That verse isn't done. And he says, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image nor his mark, and so forth. And they didn't get his mark on their hands or their foreheads. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, this is another group that will reign with Christ. Now, why are they singled out? They're singled out because they're a special group of people that were martyred during what period of time? Sarge?
During the tribulation time.
Yeah, during this great tribulation time. And they didn't take the mark and they were martyred. That doesn't mean they missed the rapture. They were still taken up in the rapture. That's the first resurrection after the sixth seal. They were taken up. But it just means that they're being singled out. Amen? They're being singled out. So keep that in mind as you look at that. And they were beheaded. Notice that. They were beheaded. And then verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection is all those that were raptured here between the sixth and seventh seal. And they were in heaven during God's wrath, but on the first day of the millennium, they're now being recognized as given rulership over the earth. And what a glorious time that is going to be. Any question about that? All right, we're coming to the end of our time here. So what we're going to do is have you, for your assignment, you got the notes, finish going through this. And next week you'll have new notes, I promise. It won't be these. All right, Sarge, question.
Thank you.
Yep.
For Brother Holman coming in at 29,
yeah.
Should we expect him to come before for breakfast?
We'll have to see, Sarge. I doubt it because he's got another meeting. Thank you, Sargie. Thank you. All right. Have a good one. Amen. Lisa, good to see you.
I have to tell you, my son started this job 2 weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
He loves it.
Oh, good. Good.